If there is anyone here who is so deeply into the Judeo-Christian ethos that the words that we all speak daily distress and unhinge you, get the fuck out of here now.
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Welcome back, Cut by Cut fanatics, zealots, pop culture enthusiasts, and those looking for something a little left of the radio dial. In fact, so left of the radio dial that it's not even allowed on the radio. And that's going to be the theme of our show today as we talk about words, words, words in episode 21. And to help ease you through some of the more sensitive elements of today's show will be myself, the Reverend Dr. Eric Carlson, and of course, my cohort, the man with the plan, a man wanted in 50 states for loving too much.
Nice.
A man whose sole passion in life is to make an ideal sandwich, end war everywhere amongst chipmunks.
Wow, I sometimes I have to just let you keep going.
Yeah.
That's why my silence there, yeah.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, how's the war against chipmunks going?
I don't actually, it's more the squirrels.
Yeah. See, I'm a squirrel fan.
Are you?
And that's why we're on other sides
of
the table.
See, the chipmunks are, they're the smaller, more oppressed of the...
Of the two, rodent world.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Are you partial to chipmunks because of three lovable chipmunks and all of their squeakles?
No.
Alvin, Simon,
right.
And the other one? Yeah.
I almost didn't know what you were talking about. Squeakles pun. I love it. No, just, you know, the big doughy eyes, they're smaller.
Yeah.
Therefore cuter, therefore more harmless.
See, you say that.
It's like rats versus mice, right? I mean.
Oh, no, I'm a rat person more than a mouse person.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Yeah. Mice are unsettling because you find when you go, oh, dear God, there's a mouse here. What do I do? And it doesn't mean any harm. A rat, it means business. You see a rat and you go, this room is yours. It's forever yours.
Welcome, rat. Close the door.
It's you now live here. Enjoy. Yeah. Nice. I saw a rat outside of a gas station the other day, which is weird because we live in suburbia. And so I was kind of tempted.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, Providence, I've read things from time to time. There's a rat problem, like most cities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cities, you know, do cities spawn rats or do rats spawn cities? That and other important questions will not be answered.
Will
on this
not,
podcast.
Most likely. They'll be, yeah.
save that for something NPR, if you will.
So, Eric.
Yes, Chris.
Words, I should have said, what are you reading over there?
Words, words, words. Buzz, buzz. Yeah, so we drew from the topic engine last week.
We did.
And here we are. Now, I do want to... The middle part of the show is going to seem a little disjointed, and here's why. Chris and I went two totally different directions with this.
Yes, we did.
To the point where we couldn't find a solid bridge, and it was very disjointed.
Yeah.
Not that either song was bad. It just, they didn't work together.
Well, our original, the motif behind the expression was A, Shakespeare inspired,
yep.
And then B, on your part, and then B, the way we agreed to somewhat of a, what it was about, it was songs that the words mattered to you, kind of, or that the words had a kind of weight or an importance to them.
And now that you say that, I totally remember that
and
conversation.
That's, right. So,
but
so,
I did not remember it Monday when I was prepping the show.
No, no. You know, and then in the way we do things,
yeah.
Folks, little behind inside radio here, the way we do this, Eric and I go off and we run down our own personal directions down with what we want to do, and then we meet in the middle. And I guess this is probably the first episode where we just totally just were on complete divergent paths.
I was out crying in my car. I had to take a 5-minute break. I was like,
he doesn't understand where I wanted to go. He doesn't understand the vision.
Yeah, but I had also come, you know, yeah. So here we are. We're today, as you'll learn, we're going with kind of the songs that we've chosen are going to lead us down a path of censorship and related topics.
Yes. So, and that being said, some of these songs may offend. Some of these songs may have cuss words in them. So if you have small children, lock them in your basement. Throw down some crackers. I hear kids like crackers.
I thought kids were supposed to be in the basement. That's not.
Mostly. Okay. I did. I was talking to Owen, your son, before the show. Yeah. And I said, you know, Owen, you know, you can choose something on Netflix. And he was kind of like, meh. And I said, all right, well, you can go into the basement and watch The Dryer.
And do its
and
job.
He said, no, that's not exciting. I said, you know, in my day, The Dryer was exciting. You should be freaking lucky that you get to sit down there and watch that tumble dry. Because when I was a kid, we didn't have such luxuries. No, God, no. We had to watch it dry on a line outside, keep the birds off them.
Poor, poor, pitiful suburban you.
Keep hobos from stealing clothes and scurrying away from their own adventures.
Yeah, those. I know where you grew up, sir.
I had to sit out there with a switch, you know. Hobos! And then we just descend on them. So that being said, shall we
go? We're well on the way of offending. I love it.
I love it. So we go all the way to scenic Ireland for our first track.
Let's do it.
All right. This is Stiff Little Fingers. You can't say crap on the radio.
You can't say that. No.
You know, there's something about Stiff Little Fingers as a whole. I came into
the band,
them,
or
yeah, I came into them when I was ladies and gentlemen, the following part of the episode will be R-rated. I got into Stiff Little Fingers when I was in seventh and eighth grade. I used to go up to Goldie's on Thayer Street. Which doesn't mean to anything to anybody, and it was probably closed before you were hanging out on Thayer.
Well, it's a pretty typical Rhode Island. You go past the barn that's not there anymore and left at the...
Yeah, all Rhode Island directions are based on things that haven't existed for 40 years. So this was... I remember seeing the... they had this double LP, All the Best, Stiff Little Fingers.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter, I was wearing a Clash shirt, and the kid behind the counter was like, well, if you like the Clash... You know, you'll love Stiff Little Fingers. And he talked me into buying this double LP.
Okay.
And if anybody knows anything about me, I get buyer's remorse buying groceries, okay? Like, I'm like, man, I really shouldn't have bought this almond milk. And, man, you know, all these eggs. Just, you know. So
total luxury.
Yeah. I spend a dollar and I'm suddenly, like, beating myself up. And I went home with this thinking, like, oh man, what have I done with my life? Like, I'm
so it was a conflict of your, like, you couldn't, he sold you. You couldn't say no. You bought it.
Yes.
And then immediately regretted it, like, without even.
Yeah. I was walking out of the store and I ended up falling in love with this record. It's one of the few that escaped the great record migration. Of the early 2000s, so to say. And it it still gets a lot of radio play. It's that snotty punk meets like the Clash type sound.
Yeah.
That's really important to me. And I went this direction with, I chose this song because it was all about censorship and the things you can say, you know, obviously can't say on the radio and so forth. So that's where the song comes for me from this episode.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I went back and I looked at a little bit of the etymology of crap.
Oh, the word crap.
Yeah. And I was like, because I was thinking, like, why is this word? So the song is about them being interviewed on,
yeah, right,
on
right,
radio.
Right. So, yeah.
And the obviously they mouth off and get booted off.
So, yeah, one of my questions is it's written, it seems like it's written very specifically about an interview.
Yes.
That so I couldn't, I was trying hard to find said interview and find out what they said, or and I was unsuccessful. So.
Same here.
All right.
But what I do know is the Sex Pistols were interviewed by a guy named Bill Grundy.
Okay.
And Bill Grundy was this alcoholic TV show personality, right? He'd sit in his chair and then the band would sit oppositionally across from him. Yeah. And he was really laying into the Pistols. Did not like them. Susie from Susie and the Banshees was there. Catwoman.
All these people in the...
Yeah, and he was just wailing on them. You know, you make money, you're offensive. And Steve Jones accidentally swore. And the guy said, well, you know, you've got another 2 minutes. Say something outrageous. And opened the door. And they just started unleashing all of these swears on him. And they, you know, obviously, he got fired. And they got
did he really?
Ton of crap. Oh, yeah, because nice. He was encouraging it. You know, he was going back and forth and really being this adversarial sort of dickhead about it. And I can't help, I've always kind of thought that Can't Say Crap on the Radio was in connection to the Bill Grundy interview, but okay. Also the BBC has really weird rules.
They still seem to, like, some of the rabbit hole I was going down was trying to figure out, like, you know, we here in the States, United States, like, I think we cherish it, right? First Amendment and all that. Like, we, obviously it's something that's,
yeah,
pretty essential. And
well, we scream First Amendment until somebody violates it, and then we go, that horribly offends me. And I don't mean in terms of like calling people names. Right. I mean just like in terms of saying like fuck or you know shit or whatever the case is that we're all like, you have the right to say what you want. All right, well, fuck you. Whoa. Let's rein this in there, Charlie.
Well, there's a. I wasn't ready to go here this fast and this
kind of. No, neither am I. Neither am I.
With regards to, it still seems like Britain even now is a little more policey with what they will and won't play. You know, even I'm jumping a little ahead, but Capital, in the end of this song, they make a reference to Capital Radio. I'll call it Crapital Radio.
Yes.
Which is a Cure song.
Clash.
Clash. Jesus Christ, I just do that. Yeah. It's a Clash. It's a Clash song, and also about censorship.
Yep,
obviously, and to the point where it got censored, and all it did was boost the popularity of like the British form of censorship in its history. All it seemed to do was boost the sales.
Well, that happens anytime you censor something. There's a fantastic story of this Catholic school that banned all of these books. Right, yeah. They just flat out said all of these books. Our children will not read them.
Right.
You know, they offend our delicate Christian sensibilities. And this female student started running illegal libraries out of her locker. And so she had these lockers tucked in all around the school. And you would get the code, and it had all the banned books. Nice. So you could go and take it and read it and see what the fuss was about.
That's awesome.
And give it back.
It's like the Napster of books, but an analog version of
it. I would
right?
love, imagine that, a censored lending library.
Yeah, run, and it's probably better organized than the actual library. Oh my
God. You know, and the fact that the kids started it is so important.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know?
Correct.
So I wanted to go with...
How recent was that? When was that?
Oh, this was 5 or 7 years ago.
Oh, so it was, okay.
Everything in my memory is 5 or 7 years ago. Could very well have been 98, but... So I looked at the word crap. Now, popular culture says that crap was comes around because of who? Do you know? Do you know the story?
Not really, no.
So there's a guy named Thomas Crapper who gets history's sort of nod for inventing the flush toilet.
Okay.
And, of course, crap.
The crapper. Short for crapper. I mean, I think I use that. The crap. I'm headed to the crapper.
That story is wrong on both accounts. One, crap is not a derivative of Thomas Crapper. That's just accidental.
Okay. Oh, geez.
And he also didn't invent the flush toilet.
Okay.
The flush toilet.
Did he have anything to do with toilets at all?
He improved on it.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't invent it.
Built a better mousetrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Built a better poop trap. And so he didn't invent crap the flushing trap. Lavatory. Ooh, I like that.
Crap trap.
There's the name of our episode.
The crap trap.
That honor goes to Elizabethan poet Sir John Harrington. And, you know, the idea that a poet invents the flush toilet really makes like people like Robert Frost seem really f***ing lazy. You know what I mean?
Isn't he dead?
Even more so. I mean, he is like super lazy now.
Way lazy.
He can't even get off his back. And so, but this is cool because just like we think that crap comes from crapper, now this guy's name was John. A nickname for John is... Yeah. Jack.
Okay.
The slang for the toilet that he invented became known as the Jakes. John, Jack,
okay.
Jake.
Okay.
So it became known as the Jakes.
I'm following the bouncing ball.
And there was an etymology. So I looked up the etymology of crap, and there's a book called The Etymologicon by a guy named Mark Forsyth.
That's the book they read in Evil Dead.
Precisely. It just and so there was this... Weird, Harrington was so pleased with his toilet that he wrote a book called A New Discourse Upon a State Subject, The Metamorphosis of the Ajax.
Okay.
Ajax, A-J-A-X, being rhyme slang for Jax, comes from John. If you'll grant me.
Okay, yeah, I'm letting you run with this.
All right. For when I found... Not only in mine own poor, confused cottage, but even in the goodliest and stateliest palaces of this realm, notwithstanding, all our provisions of vaults, of sluices, of grates, of panes of poor folks in sweeping and scouring, yet still this same whoreson saucy stink, though I were commanded of pain of death not to come within the gates, you would spite of our noses, even when we would gladdest have spared his company. Now, because the most unavoidable of all these things that keep such a stinking stir and such a stink when they be stirred is urine and odor, that which carries us, that which carries all about us. And then he goes on, he talks about, I think mine is the properest of them all. So this guy really thought that his shit didn't stink.
You know, as an aside here quickly.
Yeah.
I would be a street rat. I don't think I could have spoken the language then, or there.
Well, he was a poet, you know. So he's invented. And he's selling us his toilet.
I wanted to grab you by your collar. Luckily, you're not wearing one. I wanted to grab you by your collar and say, "English, do you speak it?" Or you know, or
dost thou speak English? But I love the idea that here's a man now promoting this as a thing to remove urine and stink. So that we no longer have to deal with it, right?
Yeah, the chamber pot is a thing of the past.
Right, and of course it all flushed right into the Thames, so in summertime it would become so gross and stagnant that you could walk across it.
You know, mankind is amazing. It's impressive. We're always... So, to make an analogy.
Yeah.
We invent, you know, mankind invents nuclear power.
Yeah.
We still... we're what, 40 years into having, maybe a little more, 40 years into having this type of power?
A nuclear 50? Power? Oh, God, more than that.
Oh, sorry. I think about it. We're 40 years into the government getting involved into what should we do with the waste?
Oh, yeah.
And still has not yet been a decision on what should be done with the waste.
Right, it's just in drums in a mountain somewhere.
Well, no, so they came up with this place, but everyone's got the not in my backyard approach, which, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Understandably, everyone's like, not here. So, yes, there is a facility where a lot of this stuff was intended to go deep in the mountain somewhere, right?
Yep.
Makes some sense, I guess. But no one wants, whoever the people are, wherever that is, out in Nevada somewhere, don't want it there. So people are still storing in place, where which is
the, why don't we just send it all to Mar-a-Lago? Anyway, so that was my little thing about crap. Did you have any follow-ups for what we... So I love the idea that obviously this guy believes that his shit doesn't... So,
no, I'm sorry. Did he actually say the word crap, though? You were talking about...
He doesn't actually use the word crap, but crap becomes a British thing. He's the first use of crap is in 1801, so almost 200 years after the Elizabethan age, right? Elizabethan age is like 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when Elizabeth was alive. And so in 1801, there's a poet by Jay Churchill who actually uses the word crap in a poem. He says, "Crap, crap, 'twas a moist one, a right brewer's shit, and finding it in vain, be stopping the lake. Zounds," he says. Then he goes, "Man, I've brewed it, so I'll bake it."
Wow.
Yeah.
So he made a shit pie? Is that kind of
what... I don't know what the... I've only got the excerpt here. But my take on this is, like, we tend to think that we're the only people who have ever sworn. You know, we say shit, we say crap, we say fuck. Like, oh no, that's just our generation. Other generations were so much more proper. No, they weren't.
No, they were
not in the least.
This isn't, you know, I hate to bring every podcast where I come into parenting, but, you know, I guess that's the phase I'm in my life, right?
Yeah. But it's a trend. It'll pass.
It's a trend. It'll, yeah.
Give it a few years.
Yeah. You make it 18 years and then it'll be over. But, yeah. But,
no. Anyway. That means your kids will be living with you well into their 20s. I'm just doing the math for you, but go ahead.
I can have an aside to my aside. I won't do it. But my wife and I have a potty mouth, and it, yeah. I guess I wasn't filtered as a child, I guess, or, you know, at a certain point, I just kind of, it wasn't shunned, you know,
yeah.
No one ever was really like, oh my God, he just said the word. Right. So I now, as an adult, you know, enter, you know, going to work every day, I have moments where I will let, like, a little word fly and I go, oh, and then people kind of react.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I have to apologize and say, you know, I'll dial it back, because clearly there's people yep. here who are focusing on my very word, you know? So, yeah, it's an interesting thing now. Like, I'm finding myself, so, but with our children, we do our best to explain the, because again, I think I had 4 year olds in the car, 3 and a 4 year old. And I got the, "Dad, what's a fuck?"
Because anyway, something you don't give.
I have,
we give zero of those.
You know, so I swore at someone while on bringing my kids to school that or preschool that morning and later that evening. And I was like, oh, you know, Daddy said that word in anger. I shouldn't have said that. And that literally that afternoon where my wife had picked up the children, my phone rang and it was my wife. And I said, they ratted me out, but they were like, Daddy said
this. Or in your case, they moused you out.
We learned a new word today, Daddy. And so I immediately got the call and I explained it. But yeah, it was an interesting parenting moment. But I guess we're trying our kids, just be aware of what you're saying, and it might shock people, you know. Try not to use them.
My sister and I were never allowed, we were allowed to swear, and just not at my parents.
Right.
So
not in anger at people. Right. That's
right. So if I was frustrated with something and I was like, oh, what the fuck? You know, like my mom, it didn't register.
They had
this weird sort of cassometer where they could see, you know, like, oh, you've reached the point where you're yelling at your sibling now. So stop it.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, they were fine with me listening to punk.
Yeah.
And there's that great Sex Pistols song called Polly. Well, it's not great. It actually freaks me out, and there's a line where it's like, fuck this and fuck that, fuck it all, the fucker, fucking brat. And my dad was like, you know, so, you know, he talked to me, he's like, so what is it about that it interests you? Does that shock you?
Right.
And I was like, no, the content of the song shocks me. Like, it's I don't like it, it makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
But the cussing doesn't. And he was like, you know, It's not about the swear. It's about the delivery. You can say anything with that kind of thing. And honestly, you'll get more attention if you put in other words instead. So he started me on this using antiquated vernacular. And that's what I bring to school.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so like we'll be talking to kids and I'll drop something and be like, oh, sugar. And the kids are like, what? What did you just say? Like sugar? But that's what, you know, if I said shit, that's, it's white noise. You know, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Anymore. No, I'll agree with that. I like putting absurd words like, one of my favorite is bastard, you know, just, it makes people uncomfortable. But now, I'll often yell basketballs.
Right.
Know? Just like, basketballs, you know, and.
Or for crying out loud, for crying out loud. And like, whoa, what did you say? I said for crying out loud.
F-bombs have, though, to me, just the, I think it's the, like the CK at the end of the word.
Yep.
That hard sound. I love it.
Oh yeah. No,
I love using the word. I have to dial it back. You know, I consciously have to dial it back sometimes if I can filter myself.
Well, do you know, I started looking up the etymology of fuck as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of historical debate over where it comes from. And one of the things is like, oh, it's fornication under the king. You needed special permission during the time of the plague to reproduce. What? At a time when humanity is being wiped off the face of the earth, you needed written permission? No. And like all of these things where fuck means is an
acronym. There's some other one, unlawful carnal knowledge so these are all
in my research, these are all bull.
Just made up.
Yeah, they're all bullshit.
Okay, interesting.
And what Snopes. We call that, what we call that is a backronym, where we start with the word and then we break it down to mean something and we derive meaning for it. And it's great because there's this word that everyone's like, that word is super offensive. We don't use it. It hurts people's ears. It'll make your children cry. It's been known to kill wolves. We don't use this word. And like, well, what does that word really mean? Where does it come from?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a word we don't use.
I like it that I use it in every, well, I don't, okay, so then I don't, what is the, I'm dumb enough to, is the word intended to be one of like aggressive sexual?
Yeah, that's pretty much what everybody can agree it comes from.
So that's how I don't use it. Precisely. You know what I mean? Like, I don't say that word in that way. You know, Brooke's not here this time, but she wouldn't enjoy that word if I was using it. I don't use it that way. So I'm like, I like it because it's it basically can take on all forms of the word. You know, you fucking fuckity fuck fuck fuck. What the fuck were you fucking fucking?
Well, you know, and it's great because it's become so prevalent in society that we forget it has actually a definition, I think.
Sure,
people just like it for the sound.
That's, I'm guilty of that. That's what I'm admitting. Yeah.
And that's, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. In a nutshell, is how do I get out of this nutshell? Is
I'm in this nutshell.
Is I'd be bound in a nutshell. There, I knew we could bring Hamlet into it. So yeah, it's the impact and the way the word sounds.
Yeah.
It doesn't register a meaning to me anymore. Subsequently, I'm also not really thinking through how often or frequently I use it.
Yeah.
I know that I don't use it from 7 a.m. till 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, right.
That's like
I commend you for that,
and
it slips out of my mouth during those hours.
It's really difficult, which is where using antiquated vernacular and using old swear words comes into play.
Yeah, sure.
And again,
I like how you went all like 70s or 60s sugar.
Yeah. I sound like a Marvel superhero.
Language captain.
And the other thing I think the only other thing I wanted to hit on was, so Stiff Little Fingers was kicked off the radio for using this. And they, one of their only early supporters was a guy named John Peel.
Okay, yeah. It was one of go ahead.
Do you want to talk about John Peel?
No, but I was going to ask you, who is Uncle John referenced in the song? Did you?
So officially, if you know other stories, I don't know. But the one that makes the most sense is a radio host from the BBC named John Peel. And John Peel was a musical god. Basically, everything from the 70s on up, he just had this ear for great bands. And he would bring people in and he would have them play live in the studio. And it was Susie and the Smiths, The Damned, well into the White Stripes. Most of the great BBC sessions were hosted by Peel. He was 10 minutes ahead of the rest of the country.
Cool.
And he was a huge proponent of Stiff Little Fingers. And they couldn't find anybody to, they ended up on Rough Trade Records, I think.
I think of, not the first album though, right?
No, they had a real hard time finding their
niche. I usually do write down label stuff. I didn't write this one down.
Same here. Yeah. But they had a real hard time finding their niche, and he was an early proponent of getting them on the radio. So then to have them kicked off the radio, yeah, was kind of like this, oh, Uncle John won't even be able to play our song now. Crap, you know, which is brilliant, I think. So do you want to go on to the next track?
I had a couple, just a little fun game. We can do some multiple choice. First of all, I tend to have fun sometimes with Urban Dictionary.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's a horrible place. They're not good people.
Yeah. You may want to tune out and get a sandwich, folks. But, more sensitive.
I'm not going to give you the Uncle John definition. Adults out there but it was an interesting, I thought it was funny. Cause it talks about creepy uncles, but, Gutter Snipe is a word they used in the song.
Yes.
And I got a multiple choice question for you.
All right, good. It's been a while since we've done this.
Tell me which one that you think
is actually the definition.
Well, it's brand new Chris. New year, new Chris. I actually wrote down.
Oh, good.
The multiple choices for you.
Nice.
So here we go. Gutter Snipe. Do you think it means one, a scruffy and badly behaved child who spends most of their time on the street? Two, I'm also going to do these in proper order. A person who is extremely nosy.
Okay.
Or three, a random person visualized as a fat Jamaican marine biologist with pigtails, generally when we don't know the answer to a who question.
I'm gonna say it's A.
I believe that is the right use of the word, yes.
Yeah, it's a word that pops up frequently in British stuff, gutter snipe.
Yeah, so yeah, it's supposed to be like a kind of a street urchin kind of. But it's a
great word though.
It is, and all three of those were on Urban Dictionary though as possible contending choices.
So this is like when you take AP and you get three answers that are all plausible. They tell you to go with the best answer.
Yeah.
Not which one's right, but which one's the best.
Well, I also think it is the proper definition of the word, but I thought it was funny because the actual definition was in Urban Dictionary, which means to me someone didn't get the joke. That is
right.
Urban Dictionary, which is why I had to throw out that number three, which was not throw it out, but at least offer it to you because
somebody put it in there.
If it was, it didn't. I was nervous at first because it felt racist, but it's not. Forget the, you know, or it's shaming a lot of different things, but it's very specific. A fat Jamaican marine biologist with pigtails.
Yes. With pigtails. I feel like that someone's like has a grudge against their coworker.
Not even that it's that person, but that's how it's a random person you visualize. Yeah, no.
This is a person who has a grudge against their coworker. It is clearly a vengeful entry.
While I thought it was humorous. So thank you for bearing with me.
Do you have any other crap facts?
Crap facts. No, I had a couple other things. Stiff Little Fingers.
Yes.
The name of the band was chosen because of a
song
by the Vibrators.
Yep.
of that name. So I thought that was
it's a great song too, by the way.
And according to the song Stiff Little Fingers is off of the album Pure Mania, which was in, I didn't close the loop here and figure out if Stiff Little Fingers, I have to believe the Clash are on the list, but Vibrators are on there as one of the best punk albums of all time, that Pure Mania album.
Yeah, well, so, London Calling and the self-titled, and I think most of the Clash discography.
I would have to believe all of the Clash makes the list there.
With the exception of Sandinista, which is like...
The other little thing, all three of these bands, I'm questioning my facts.
Your facts?
On the Vibrators.
Just lay it out there. You know,
I believe all three of these bands have been active recently, like in the last decade. Like
Well, not the Clash, because Joe Strummer's dead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So he Vibrators, hasn't been as active as I'd
you're
like.
Right, you're right. I said three. The Vibrators and Stiff Little Fingers are still out doing their thing.
Oh, yeah. SLF is still definitely putting stuff out. And you know who else is? That's right. Whoop. My eyes.
better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio.
So this harkens back, obviously, to the days where radio controlled everything.
Yeah,
totally. You didn't have internet. You didn't have your fancy MTVs. You didn't have your CDs.
Well, interestingly enough, all of these mediums.
Yeah,
All had these bizarre moments of censorship, like picking and choosing when to show something. And you know, they're all things that we know. Like they're all songs that we know. We've all heard. We bought the albums or knew some with the albums. But
yeah.
Or like in the case of like MTV and stuff, the song might have made its way on the radio, but all of a sudden they're not playing the video on MTV for some reason, or, you know, bizarre. There's some really bizarre.
Well, this song in particular, we ended up switching it to this song.
Well, so that was Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
Yeah.
With Radio. And we've.
Just two radios.
Radio.
This is Radio.
Did I say Radio?
You did say Radio, which is also not Radio from Hot Water Music. So we've got Radio from Hot Water Music, Radio from Elvis Costello, Radio, totally different song that hasn't been written yet. Now,
so that I picked that song primarily because I thought it interesting that they were slated to play on Saturday Night Live in 1977. And they were asked specifically not to do that song. So they opened up with like a few chords from a different song and then immediately switched into Radio.
Enough so they couldn't pull the plug.
Yes, which I think is amazing. The idea of doing that. And there's a couple of other instances of people doing very similar things.
Yeah.
Sex Pistols had a moment where they...
Well, I want to talk... We'll talk about that. Yeah.
So it was it's a fantastic move. And I think now of Saturday Night Live and kind of their whole bit, the whole thing is satire and, you know, First Amendment... to the T, and the idea that they would you can't do that. the reason was something in that song was supposed to have been deemed to be anti-media,
right?
And it was like, anyway, just totally confusing and ridiculous.
Well, it's tough when the fingers are pointed right back at you, right? Like, you know, when you scream about, you know, all the conservatives or the politicians or how stupid pop culture is, and then somebody else says, no, all pop culture is stupid, and you go, whoa, settle down here, pal. we're on the same boat, you know, we're cool.
Yeah.
So you referenced the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
And their track, God Save the Queen.
Right, yep.
There was a moment.
I know it's a different country, different.
But there was a moment when the BBC charts had no number two. It just ran a blank line because it wasn't allowed to be played on the radio.
Right.
But the single was selling so well that it pushed it up to the charts. So there was like a week or two where there was no number two.
Wherever it was tracking, they would just cut it
on
out.
On every list, it was just a blank line.
So it's awesome in that it's ridiculous. But what... I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but there was a paraphrase. There was a moment where, when their song had got banned, they rented a boat.
Yep.
And went...
Queen's Jubilee.
And they went out on the boat and performed their song from out in the...
And they all got arrested. It was fantastic.
So I think that was... I'm not a huge Sex Pistol guy, but I love that, you know, like... Nanny state stuff, Big Brother stuff drives me bananas.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like, so, you know, we talked about parenting, just to tie it together from where I'm coming from. The words exist, they're out there. I tell my kids they're there, and I tell them I would prefer if you're not using them A, in anger, or B, you know, try to find another way to express yourself.
Right.
Although,
just punch your brother.
Well, that's a whole other story. But there are consequences for that too. But it's the whole idea that I'm not going to pretend that these things aren't out there in the world. You know, I'd rather have a healthy discussion about it.
Yeah.
Yes, the word exists. Yes, A, you saw me use it in anger. We're not going to get quite into exactly what the word means right now because you're a little too young for that. But
and historians are still even confused. So,
right, well, yeah. So, but I'm. But again, those I was literally I've used those words with them.
You know,
when you're a little older, we can talk about some of the other stuff. But just believe me right now that it's not appropriate for you to be saying. And but it is a word. It is out there. I'm not going to clench up my clench up and be like, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, your sphincter is not going to tighten. So I made a Chris list.
Oh, nice.
Chris List.
Whoop.
This is a series of songs. Now, I started to look up songs that had been banned on the radio. And so my list scope was, like, there's a lot of hip-hop songs that aren't allowed on the radio. And it's like, well, of course, because every other word is a swear, and that's bullshit. Like, you know, I'm not allowed on the radio. You are aware that you're swearing nonstop for 5.5 minutes, right? I can't imagine why the radio airwaves are prejudiced against you.
Yeah.
And that always kind of like makes me chuckle. So I went to look for things like bands that had been selected for reasons that weren't cuss words per se.
Sure.
So like, obviously, my favorite is personally a favorite of mine. It's Greased Lightning from the movie Grease.
We've talked about Grease in previous episodes.
Yep. Yeah. Which was, my stomach is growling again, I need a sandwich. Which I think was eliminated because...
That wasn't in the Grease.
No.
Okay.
That was totally separate. My stomach lets me know when it's sandwich time. I'm just saying. Anyway, the moral of the story is Greased Lightning was one of them. But the Who's My Generation...
Yep.
With its people try to put us down was banned because folks thought that it would offend folks with a stutter. And so it was pulled from the radio, and then the song became huge and they kind of put it back on. The Beach Boys, God only knows because of blasphemy.
I had a list too. You might not be surprised about that. So our lists are overlapping, good sir.
I'm very happy about this. The Kinks, Lola, not for reasons one would think.
That one, hold on, see if I can remember. That one was, I lost it. I just
not it. Because it was about a woman who dresses or a man who dresses.
Oh no, that was Coca-Cola. That was the Coca-Cola reference. Yeah.
So they had to fly back to New York from England to re-record Cherry Cola. Which seems like a colossal waste of time and money. The Kingsman, Louie.
Yep.
Launched a 31-month FBI investigation onto whether it was offensive or not. 31 months.
I love politicians.
More than 2 years. But my two favorites were The Doors, Light My Fire.
Yep.
With Girl We Couldn't Get Much Higher.
Right.
Which reminds me of that Simpsons line where the Red Hot Chili Peppers are coming to play Moe's Bar. And he's like, folks, you know when you say, what I got, you got to get it, put it in you. Could you say, I just really want to hug and kiss you? And the band's like, wow, that really broadens the spectrum of our song. And yeah. But my absolute favorite was there was a protest singer by the name of Pete Seeger, and he had been blacklisted from television.
Okay. Yeah.
And the story goes, at least as far as I know it, the Smothers Brothers had worked their asses off to get him back on their show. So at this point, they were the number one show in America.
This time was, only three Smothers Brothers were they late 70s, early 80s? Or when,
oh,
when
no,
was
God,
it?
No. 60s into 70s.
Oh, okay. I know.
They were like height of the Vietnam War, mocking politicians.
I watched it. We didn't prep this part, but I've watched it, and yep. I was probably watching it on like Nick at Night or something, syndicated or something, or whatever.
Well, their whole thing was that they were so massive... so massively popular and such massive for ratings that they would be allowed to do this stuff. And then they would bite the hand that feeds them and make, like, they have a whole skit where they get the script and the first guy starts laughing and the second guy starts laughing with a black pen. And then the second guy starts laughing with a black pen and they're the censors.
Yeah.
And he gets to the last guy and he goes,
Yeah.
And like, that's the punchline. And they're just constantly attacking the station and attacking politicians personally and doing all these really great things. So they brought back Pete Seeger. Now we're in the middle of the Vietnam War. Protest songs are not allowed.
Yeah, right.
Any real radio play. And he performs this song called The Big Muddy. And they were like, dude, Pete, you can't sing this song. Not Smothers Brothers, but the station was like, you can't play this song. It's about what an idiot... our president is and how he's leading all these people into war. And I was sending 50,000 kids, Lyndon Johnson sending 50,000 kids to die. And it's just this huge thing. And Seeger's like, all right, I'll do another song. And the cameras go on. It's live TV. There's no buffer. And he goes right into Big Muddy. And
Boop,
and they just pulled the plug.
Oh, they actually just pulled it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like they were ready for.
yeah. Unlike Costello, who kind of head faked a little bit better.
Yeah. You open up with a couple of chords and you're going to do a different song and then
Well, it's funny because if you look at pictures of Pete Seeger, he looks like your kind uncle who lives on a farm. He's got this huge Irish wool sweater and like he's bald with this big silver beard. And he's like, hey, kids. Let's sing a song, and he goes right into it.
There were lots of we're coming near the end of the list, but there were some good examples of people who, so you're gonna sing this song. We'd like you to change this lyric to this, and they go, oh yeah, okay, okay, yeah, I can do that, and they walk away and go out and then play the song as they.
Yep.
Well,
wasn't it? There's a Doors song where there's like a car ad at the end of it. They wanted him to advertise like Chevy or Ford. Like, come on, baby, buy my Ford.
I can imagine Jim. I don't. I did not know Jim Morrison, but I cannot imagine him.
It didn't go over well. It did not go over.
Dude
well.
Was a poet and wanted everyone to know it.
Oh, I don't get it. All right, so shall we move into our last? Now, this one is our request.
Yes, Terminal Junkie 3 with another fine. Was this the second time we've used a song by him, right?
No, he had written us a letter or an email or something like that and said, nice job. And now he's tossing in. You said, here's our topic.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I think this is what ended up changing the scope of the show because you and I had songs that were like on a seesaw going up and down, do they connect? And then his song really, I think, forced it.
Yeah, it made me have to rethink some of the way I was approaching this, which that's fine. I'm having fun. This is fun. It's good stuff.
I give you really good credit because if she was on the other foot, I'd be like in the other room pouting.
Well, I'm the one who has a little bit more of a cavalier attitude about some of this stuff, so go with the flow.
Yeah, your flow is much more goier. All right, so here's Terminal Junkie's recommendation. Not only is it the end of the world as we know it, but it's also parenthetical, which now I think is every week we've had, every week since I've said I don't like parenthetical songs, we've had a parenthetical song.
Right.
Which is great. It's a nice line of consistency working its way through our show. And I'm also...
Have you explained why you don't...
I think we did. Yeah, you'll have to go back to the bloodletting. It's like, just call it, it's the end of the world as we know it.
I agree, and let the refrain or chorus, whatever.
Let the punchline hit.
Punchline, yeah.
Well, this song should appeal to you because it's one big Chris list.
It's a big list, yeah. So another one when we originally were doing. So one of the possibilities here was lists of things, and I thought of the "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Right,
because
it's
just people and lists and all obviously from we're doing a podcast and there's so many things we can go just like investigate and let the
and there's so many
random things we can talk about, which is kind of the crux of why I like doing this.
So,
I'm not a huge Billy Joel fan though, so I stayed away from that.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of secretly glad about that. So for me. I'm a huge REM fan. REM's one of those bands that the second you say you're a fan, people already have these predisposed concepts ideas, right? And so, but to me, I have such a connection with them through growing up and working at a summer camp, and they were huge amongst my friends. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm an unrepentant Morrissey fan is because of my friends from camp and stuff like that. Like, I loved the Smiths, and I never would have made that transition if not for them.
Sure.
So the fact that this track, I could spend an hour just talking about this track alone.
Sure.
We don't have an hour, so I'm going to hit on a few of the big things. One. The singing the background vocals, we used to play this at like the summer camp dances, and it's the end of the world as we know it part that I used to sing. I used to always be a snob and I'd sing, "It's time I had some time alone," which is the underscore of the chorus. And I've always loved that, you know, it reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode, Time Enough at Last. It assumes that I'm going to be the survivor of the end of the world, and everyone else is going to be dead, and it's like, time, I have some time. Finally, enough of these fuckheads are gone that I can do stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Second was that, this past week, the Doomsday Clock got moved to 11:58.
I didn't look into that enough to... I saw like a video of it on whatever, and I didn't go read about...
Well, I'll be really pissed if, like, while the world's ending... this song gets played. Like, I mean, I feel like it's been there. It's a little bit on the nose.
Some radio station's queuing it up right now.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's really, it's overplayed. It's a great song, but it's overplayed for apocalypses.
Sure.
Quite frankly. But it works really great with us talking about censorship.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first line there, "Lenny Bruce is not afraid," goes right into Lenny Bruce's categorically... storied career of being censored and doing some of the research. Well, I did a quick, you probably did deeper on Mr. Bruce there, but didn't seem like he was the most upstanding.
No, Lenny Bruce was a horrible human being. He was absolutely terrible.
But hilarious and extremely on point.
That observational George Carlin comedy.
Yeah, so that's where I think in terms of our theme of words, I had pulled up some of the George Carlin stuff. He opens up with how words are his job and how they're important, and how it seems that 7 out of the, 400,000 plus words
I believe what you're looking for is this.
Yeah, cue it up.
There are some people that aren't into all the words. There are some people that would have you not use certain words. Yeah, there are 400,000 words in the English language, and there are 7 of them you can't say on television. What a ratio that is. 399,993 to 7. They must really be bad. They'd have to be outrageous to be separated from a group that large. All of you over here, you 7. Bad word. That's what they told us they were, remember? That's a bad word. No bad words, bad thoughts, bad intentions, and words. You
know. So that came off right off. I didn't, you know, we do music, but if I could have done my song almost, I wanted to do that bit.
Yeah. Like, it's a fantastic bit.
I'm not super, super fan of George Carlin. I mean, like, I'm not so into it. I know everything about him and everything, but I love his humor. Whenever it's on, it's...
Well, Bruce got in trouble for a very similar thing. Lenny Bruce, not Springsteen. Yeah. No relations.
Bruce, no relation.
For swearing so much during his live shows, he actually got arrested on obscenity charges.
Yeah.
And part of that was, and again, I don't know if it's urban myth or I didn't validate the story. I didn't check my sources. but he went to court for having sworn so much. He was arrested and arraigned, and he was up in front of the judge. And he kept saying, "Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor. What were the words?"
And he was
like, "Motherfucker, fuck, cocksucker, blah, 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 blah." Like the whole list. And he's like, "I'm sorry, Your Honor. My hearing is bad. Can you repeat it again?" And the judge went through all the songs again, all the words again. It was great because, you know, obviously he was showing just how arbitrary and stupid the whole situation is.
Well, and he also made him say them multiple times. So, right. Just the, I wonder if I'd love to see the, the script or the transcript, I should say, of the words.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Because you've also got a stenographer typing them or writing them down. And
well, that's why I've always said that words. I tell my students this constantly. Words are a communicable disease.
Yeah.
Right. We catch ideas from them, and you know, when kids are like, "Well, words don't matter," or when politicians say, "Well, words don't fuck you." Words matter.
Oh, sure.
Words are really important. Because they're symbols and they're concepts that are reduced to these tiny little four-letter arbitrary letter things. And so the concept being that just because they have value and just because they're important and just because they can be like tiny little grenades doesn't mean that we have to be scared of them, right? Yeah. A lot of the things that are communicable, we don't want to catch. But we've got cures for, right? What's the cure for having fuck bouncing around your head? Don't use it.
Well, right? Yeah.
Don't spread the virus.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's kind of my take. And with It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, which I refuse to recognize, the litany of stuff, I don't know about you, but I used this song as a kid to gauge everything that was cool. Like, why? He says Wire. Well, Wire was a band from Athens, Georgia. They were massive. They wrote 12XU, song made famous by Minor Threat. And I used this song as a list of all of the things that I felt I should know.
Oh, interesting.
So Lester Bangs was an American critic of music, and he wrote these really fantastic, beautiful articles in a very kind of gonzo style about going to see bands. And so that's what I did. I just, as a kid, I would sit there and go, okay, this week is Lester Bangs. I'm going to try to find everything I can about him.
And this this is pre-internet era.
Right. So yeah, this was like, you know, Psychotic Reactions and Carburetor Dung was Lester Bangs' big book, a collection of all awesome stuff. Title. Isn't it amazing? And through him, I found all of these different bands. And so it was exactly just that. Every word in that song was a communicable disease because it grew my knowledge of everything in that song or all the stuff I could find at the time.
Yeah, no, I don't have that experience with this song in particular, but I've done, you know, similar things, as I think a lot of people have with other bands. Like Hot Water Music for me,
my
Rhode Islander is coming out here.
Hot Water Music.
Hot Water Music was a big early '90s influence on me, and that's how you find like Charles Bukowski book,
yep.
But one on that particular title, and I'm not a big poetry kind of guy, but some of that stuff that the Hot Water Music, I believe, was a collection of kind of prose / poetry.
Yeah, Bukowski was just.
Stream of consciousness kind of interesting topics, you know, and then that led to other things. He had a book called Dirty Old Man, I think, that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed.
Yep. Love is a Dog from Hell.
I don't think I read that one. But anyway, yeah, it's awesome finding. I love it when they crawl. I love it when, you know, you think of rock and roll or punk rock music, and a lot of people, or I always got growing up the vibe. Mainly, maybe because it was a lot of hard rock and metal that I started with, but didn't always feel intelligent.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe it's because it was Pantera, Screaming Wild, you know, things. But and some of that's not really like intelligent in a literary kind of way. But as you find some of these other bands and writers, or we talked before about Bad Religion, and actually learning that the guy's on his like, you know, a doctorate in whatever, he's biology of some kind, right, or animal,
or Milo.
Or my,
you know,
what did I say?
Oh. You said Greg Gaffin. That's who you were talking about. Yeah, you're right.
Then from Milo, Bad Religion. Milo, yep. And I thought maybe
Milo
I jumped.
The Descendants.
You got ahead of me there in my.
Yep, I was. Sorry.
Or jumping into the Descendants.
I jumped out on your mental path and scared you.
Yeah, I thought I said the wrong thing. So yeah, and then you find like, because at the same time, I was headed to college, and on one hand, it's when I was able to that have my freedom and go pursue a lot of the hardcore and punk rock music. Didn't have a whole lot of opportunities, living with my parents and stuff, to actually make it out to a lot of the shows and whatnot. But so college is when I actually went in there, and that's when I think a lot of people were criticized for forgetting. Like, hardcore and punk is kind of the adolescent of things, and then they would go away and forget everything that they, you know.
Yeah.
I was punk once, that whole kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or I was a hardcore kid then for 2 years. Yeah. But, and there's no judgment in what I'm saying. I just, that's when I explored it, and I think it wasn't an adolescent thing for me. It was me coming into my, what I'll say, early adulthood, or coming out of my adolescence, was based on a lot of this music.
Yeah, and, of course.
It has stuck with me. Well, adulthood has tried to ruin it.
Well, adulthood, yeah. I mean, I think that's the goal of adulthood, is to stomp all this stuff down. And the people who remain sort of Peter Pan-esque, or who remain with a sense of arrested development, if it's not well balanced, there's nothing more obnoxious, I think, than a person who just has not grown up. And I think being able, line.
But there's something enviable about that too, I think. I find, personally. Maybe you don't.
Yeah, I don't know if I do. I mean, I think keeping your youth or you know, what do they say? I read something a couple weeks ago that was great. It was like, you're only old once you stop thinking that you're young. Like, once you stop pretending to think that you're young. Okay. You know, like, in other words, like, you know, I'm 44, but I still think I'm 20. Well, that's keeping me young. You know, sure. The second I go, you know, I'm 44. Holy crap, I'm 44. Yeah. That's when it all comes.
Well, there are these moments, up. You know, like, you go to, I'll go to a show and, you know, band's playing that I haven't seen in a while, and I want to get up front and sing along. But that's when you catch a sneaker to the face, because,
and you're like, whoa, my dental insurance doesn't cover this. I have to go to here has to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, of all things, my little anecdote there. Lifetime, a big Lifetime fan, but, you know, Philly punk and all this, we've talked a little about that before. But they had a reunion show, and we went up in Boston with some friends. And, you know, at that point, we're out of college. We're all doing our work thing. And it was on a work night. And, yeah, I got a sneaker in the face, broke my nose, chipped a tooth. And I was like, if anyone knows Lifetime, it's melodic post kind of pop punk.
Yeah.
You know, not quite pop, but
it's
like,
the kids, damn it. They don't know. They don't respect.
No, it's great music and great fun. But I was like, Of all the shows I've been to and the hardcore stuff I've been to, I got hurt at a Lifetime show.
Yeah, I got
most hurt.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I also I recently went to go see The World Is a Beautiful Place, and I'm no longer afraid to die.
Yeah,
and I, you know, was standing near the front, and like, these kids were, you know, started a pit, and this kid comes flying into me, and my usual thing is, you know, to kind of be the pillar and like push people back. That's get a sense of pleasure out of that. and I turned to our mutual friend Chris, and I was like, you know, fuck this. Like, I'm too old for this bullshit. These kids are fucking moshing. It's like this emo, like, you know, psyche kind of sound. Yeah, it's all wussy. You know, like, what are these kids doing? And then I thought to myself, no, wait. This isn't me anymore. This isn't for me. You know, I can enjoy the music, I can enjoy the show.
Yeah.
But being this close, that's something. This is their way of like pushing me out of the pod. You know, like, when like older lions and wolves aren't allowed in the hunt.
Survival.
And
the
yeah, exactly. And the little ones come the back. Yeah. So I want to finish off as we do our credits. In the early 90s, there was a tribute album, hotly disputed, called Surprise Your Pig. And it was a bunch of bands from kind of the Athens scene who were covering different REM songs. Okay. And the album is wild and weird and very arty. And so a lot of people hated it because they wanted, like, you read a lot of the reviews and it's like, well, I wanted bands to take their own take on REM, but this is too much. You know?
Jeez.
Yeah, it's like,
just in the way people,
every fanboy who's like, well, you know what would be cool if they did this in a Star Wars movie? And then it happens and you're like, no, that sucks, man. Star Wars blows. Like, look, dude, you're not making it. Either enjoy it or don't enjoy it.
I will say this as my parting thought. We didn't get to it and we're running long. Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
Joe's Garage album. I mean, Frank, anyone out there who's not, I'm not a huge Zappa guy, but been into it enough. There's a great tune there. We didn't get to it. Go look at some Frank Zappa and The Central Scrutinizer. We didn't get to that, but homework for podcast listeners. Here we go.
So and I, you can we expect 150 word essays yes. by the next show. So this is a guy by the name of Vic Chestnut. And Vic Chestnut in 83 or 93 was in a really terrible car accident and was paralyzed.
Yep.
And still managed to kind of like play music and sing. And his songs are gorgeous. Spoiler, they're depressing as hell. I mean, it's obvious he's working through some stuff. But this was his take on It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. And honestly, it's the version that pops into my head when people are like, I love this song. All I can hear is, well, that's great. It starts with an earthquake. but you'll hear that in a second.
So it's going to play us out?
It is going to play us out. Do you want to? Yeah.
All right, folks. We are on the internet via Radio Mutation podcast at Podbean and iTunes. And we have a website. It's cutxcut.com. Continue to send those bonus tracks and comments to, you can try cutxcutpodcast@gmail. Also, kind words and thoughts and how we're doing. I'm going to continue the Instagram approach. So we're at Instagram of cutxcutpodcast. And we'll try to put out some topics ahead of time. And you can give us your thoughts. And I ran long. I missed the post.
That's all right.
Check out our playlist for the season on Spotify. And while you're at iTunes, head over there and give us a review. Cue up the topic engine, Eric.
Ooh. Is it your turn to draw or mine?
You can do it. You have the honors.
All right. The next topic is This Is Not My Typical Jam.
Nice.
And so This Is Not My Typical Jam, and Vic Chestnut's going to continue to play us out.
Thanks for joining us for episode 20, folks.